Blog Talk Radio.
Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in, and now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's a new season.
Praises and all glory to God. Oh, how we thank God for you all being here and tuning in tonight. We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst, and we thank our listening audience for tuning in. And tonight we have a very special program that we want to share with you. We have two couples that are going to serve as our panel guests for this, our very first marriage symposium. And it is entitled, The Four Seasons of Marriage, praise God. The Four Seasons of Marriage. And we have two dynamic couples that will be sharing with us tonight. And amongst the three of us, amongst the three couples, we have over, praise God, 100 years of marriage, combined marriage experience. And so given the rate of divorce, we would like to be able to take the opportunity to talk tonight with our listening audience on the strategies and the secrets to what makes a marriage last, praise God. And so we're going to go ahead and start with prayer. Then we're going to allow our panelists, our couples, to be able to introduce themselves. And we're going to go ahead and get started then with the program. At the end, we plan to leave time for questions and answers as well from our studio audience. So, babe, would you go ahead and lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father, for this time that we have to give you glory, Lord. We thank you so much for coming together, Lord, and bringing us together, Lord, to enlighten people, to encourage people, to let people know that God is still on the throne, Father, Lord. God is still doing a great and mighty work here on this earth, Lord. We pray that your people bring forth great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to your people on this day, Father, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, for the sake of time, since we have so much to cover, we're going to go ahead and get started, and we're going to have our panelists. We have with us Elders Albert and Elder Veronica Binion, along with Elder Augustine Johnson and Deacon Billy Johnson, and we're going to allow them to introduce themselves and share a little bit about who they are. And couples, if you will, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad to unmute yourselves, and we will go ahead and get started. I'd like to first introduce to you our first couple, and that is Deacon Billy Johnson and Elder Augustine Johnson. Praise God. And if you all will, I'm clicking on to you, give it 1 second here, you should be able to be dispatched into the studio. Hallelujah. Praise God. Deacon Billy and Elder Augustine, can you hear us?
Amen.
Deacon Billy and Elder Augustine, can you hear us?
Deacon Billy?
Oh, wait a minute. I've got the Binions. I'm sorry. My error. I apologize. Elder Albert, yes, praise God. Elder Albert and Elder Veronica Binion, can you hear us? Praise God.
Yes, we can. Yes, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Will you all go ahead and introduce yourselves and just share with our listening audience again who you are and the number of years you've been married, your children, et cetera?
I'm Albert Binion, and my wife Veronica is going to tell you how long we've been married and the children.
He's handing it over to me, praise God. But Albert and I have been married for almost 40 years come July. And
wow.
We have, yes, God is blessing us. We have 4 adult children, ranging from the age of 38 to, how old is the youngest one, 26. We have 7 grandchildren. We have been on this journey of knowing the Lord for, since I was 8 years old, I confessed that the Lord was my Savior. And so I've been living for Him ever since. At 16, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I'm so thankful that the Lord has preserved me up until this time. So God has been really good to us.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was going to say, I'm so thankful for my husband because he's such a great person in the Lord and a great person that is always beside me, and I try my best to always be beside him. Praise God.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you both for sharing that. I'm going to go ahead and mute you back to be able to decrease background noise. But we thank God for you all joining us tonight. And wow, 40 years, 40 plus years of marriage. What a tremendous blessing. And we thank God for you all being here. And we're looking so much to be able to glean from you. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to open the lines. And as we do, we're going to introduce to you Deacon Billy Johnson along with Elder Augustine Johnson. I got the names right this time. You all go ahead.
Okay. It's about time. This is Deacon Billy Johnson, and I'm a 24-year veteran of the United States Air Force, and I did another 20 years of the Federal Aviation Administration, all taking care of airplanes, making sure they fly right. Sitting beside me is my wife, Augustine.
Yes, and have been married now a total of 50 years.
Great.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God is right. God has sustained us during these 50 years. We married as met as high school sweethearts. Went to high school together and eventually connected and married. And from
Amen.
Our reunion marriage, we have two full adult children, Leslie and Marcus.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you all so much. And again, we thank both of our couples for being here and sharing in this symposium. Well, as you know, we are Pastors Constance
and Jasper.
And Jasper Whitehurst. We have been married. We don't have to have too many years, though, after Elder Augustine and Deacon Billy, 50 years.
Amen.
And the Binions 40 plus years to make
Amen.
100, praise God. But we have been married for 22 years, hallelujah. We've known one another for over 40 years. And we have a son, one son that we share, praise God, who just turned 17 years old. So again, we have some marriage experience to be able to share with you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and get started with our the book that we are using tonight as kind of a foundation for our discussion is the book by Gary Chapman entitled The Four Seasons of Marriage. And in his book, author Gary Chapman states that marriages transition from season to season. Sometimes we find ourselves in the winter, which is actually a time of distance and maybe discouragement or dissatisfaction. Oftentimes in a marriage, we may experience a season of spring that's filled with hope and openness and anticipation. We also have a period of marriage where we consider it to be our fault, where there may be some negligence and uncertainty, or a period of feeling unsettled or somewhat apprehensive. And then there is the summer of marriage, in which couples are satisfied and comfortable, and they simply enjoy being together and enjoying life together. So we'd like each of you as our couple to reflect on your marriage as we discuss the elements of these seasons and how they apply to your marriage. Because we want to end our discussion on a positive note, we're going to address the marital seasons in the order of spring, fall, winter, and summer. So, here's your first question, couples. A time, springtime, that time that we talked about that's filled with hope, openness, and anticipation. For the Johnsons, if you could share three pieces of advice with a couple that's anticipating marriage for the first time, what would it be and why? If you could share, again, three pieces of advice to a couple, what would it, a new couple, what would it be and why? Go right ahead, please.
Okay. What we got is have a deep respect for each other before marriages take place.
Amen.
Second of all, you got to develop true understanding for each other.
And then thirdly, what we thought would be more, very important too is to put Christ first in your life.
Always.
Always do that. And with because we always believe that with God leading us, we can't go wrong.
Okay, so we're going to give you an extra, we'll give you an extra one. Always communicate with truthfulness and honesty.
Amen. So true.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. So repeat the second one for me, please.
Develop true understanding for each other.
Okay, develop true understanding. Fantastic. So you have have a deep respect, develop true understanding, put Christ first, and always have, is that open?
Have open communication with each other.
Okay. communication. Praise God. Amen. Those are very good tips. Very good to be tips to be able to implement, because each one of them are so very true. Praise God.
Yes.
We're gonna go ahead. Thank you, the Johnsons. We're going to go ahead as well, and we're gonna give the Binions an opportunity to respond to that question as well. If you have, and I'll repeat it, if you have a new couple, share with us, please, at least three pieces of advice that you would share to a couple anticipating marriage. And why? Go right ahead.
Okay, first of all, I would share with them that they should always manage their expectations. And what I mean by that is that you don't go overboard with the expectations, because we are human. And because we are human, we do make mistakes. And so it is up to the two together to think about what they desire from each other and share that desire. That's number one. And secondly, never assume anything. Because assuming things doesn't give you a complete answer. Sometimes it doesn't give you an answer at all. So rather than assume anything, you must ask. Be willing to, as they said, communicate with each other. Make sure that you're asking about things that you don't understand in the relationship, so that you can get a clear understanding, so that your marriage will always be on track. And thirdly, remember to say, I love you. Now, that might be simple, but remember to tell your spouse that you love him or her all of the time. And remember to say thank you, because we don't want to take advantage of each other. We want to stay in a place where we all, where each of us, our priority is the other one. So we need to make sure that we remind him or her that we love them very much, and that we are appreciative of them.
Yes. Amen. That's so very, very important.
Yes.
We agree with everything that both couples have said. Those are principles that, yes, every couple, you know, newly married as well as those that have been married, could continue with those principles throughout their marriage. A couple of things that we wanted to share. The Johnsons, they also both talked about keeping faith in God. We're just to reiterate that. Keep faith in God and obey his word. Also, as counselors, and we wanted to share that, yes, we do as well premarital and marital counseling for our audience, so that if you have a need in that area, there may be some things that throughout this symposium that will be we would touch upon, that would kind of spark some things maybe that you don't even want to discuss out in the open. But if you would like to have premarital counseling, we certainly, or marital counseling, we certainly would be open to assist you in that. So premarital counseling to a couple that is looking to get married is so very important. And preferably under pastoral leadership, because, again, keeping God is one of the first strategies that we all certainly feel and believe that is so vitally important. One of our next strategies is that we said to love hard. Love hard. My husband, the men will appreciate this. He said to go hard in the paint. To love hard and go hard in the paint, and never allow anything or anyone to come between you.
Amen.
And then remember that marriage
is a partnership.
There's no
Amen.
I. You know, that both are a part of the same team. You both are a part of the same team.
You learn to trust, affirm, and encourage one another.
Amen.
And so that's so important. Learn to encourage each other, and you learn to forgive one another. You learn to forgive it. Don't let it carry on, keep going on for hours, for days, for months on end. Learn to forgive one another.
That's right.
And pray and worship God together. Sometimes we don't do that. You need to learn to pray and worship God together.
Right, because Psalms 127 and 1 tells us that except God build a house, you labor in the vain that build it.
Amen.
So you have to keep God first, praise God.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Our next question, thank you, panelists, thank you. Our next question is, how would this advice differ for those with children that are anticipating remarriage after divorce? And the Johnsons, would you all go ahead and begin by addressing that?
Well, let's see now. We talked about that a little bit, not that we have a lot of experience in that area, but I would think that some of the things that we've already discussed still apply, I think, because, you know, the communication, and we talked about that, and that is very important, especially if there are children involved, and definitely making sure that we discuss those things that are prevalent in terms of what's going on within the, you know, the family and the relationship, especially if we're talking about looking at maybe sometime even developing what do we call a blended family. It could involve a blended family if there are children involved. So we need to make sure that the communication flows really good. And basically that was, and, you know, being truthful and honest about what's going on, and, you know, putting everything, lining up and putting everything on the table and having open discussions about it.
Amen.
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 Okay,
amen. Go right ahead.
Okay, and the next one that we will.
Do you want us to go ahead and talk about the man and woman remarriage? Is that the question?
Yes. How would this advice that we're talking about, advice for those that are anticipating marriage, but in this particular one, how would this advice differ for those with children that are anticipating remarriage after divorce?
So the first thing I would think about would be to, since there are children involved, they would probably want to pace the relationship, because they want to be mindful of how their children feel toward the new partner. And so they should wait until they know where the relationship is going before they introduce this person to their children, because it may not be going as well as they would have thought. And then the children have been exposed and they will get hurt. So I would say that they should wait to see where this is going before they introduce this person to their children. They should make sure, first of all, also is to make sure that the children and yourself, you've been healed from the other relationship, because you don't want to pile on hurt on top of hurt. So you want to make sure that everybody is healed from the other relationship. And also, I think the couple should talk about, since children are involved, they should talk about parenting styles, so that they don't have a conflict with how they are dealing with their children.
Right. Very good. Excellent advice.
Yes.
And just to add to what has been said, if there are children, then you must establish a loving and godly relationship with those children, and as well as the parents.
Yes.
We have to, and remarried couples that are dealing with remarriage and blended families, it's not just one spouse and the other spouse. When you have children involved, it is essential that you establish a loving, godly relationship with those children. Psalms 127:3 tell us that children are an inheritance of the Lord. And blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. That doesn't just mean your own biological children. If you're in a remarried situation and blended family, those children also are now become a part of that new blended family. And God expects you to be able to treat them just as you would one of your biological children. And then the
Amen.
Next thing we're sharing is that you need to recognize, and the couples touched upon that, recognize if there are issues that need to be addressed mm-hmm. from the previous marriage, because there is always some residue that follows, whether it's issues with child rearing or finances, and don't yes. be ashamed. We have to know, and especially in our community, do not be ashamed to seek professional help if it is needed. If it is needed. Sometimes there are issues that we need help with. And, seek the advice mm-hmm. of a pastor or a licensed counselor or those to be able to help for you to solve some of these issues.
Some professional help if you need it.
Exactly. And then also,
don't allow toxic from your past relationship to spill over into and influence your current relationship. So just allow something from your past to cause all kind of situation problems in your current relationship.
Absolutely.
So that's so important, because that can call your don't allow your past failure into bring into your present relationship. You want to leave that kind of resolve at the door, so to speak.
Absolutely.
You don't want to call any kind of problem your current relationship that you have that you're trying to build. You're trying to build a strong, solid foundation in your relationship, and you don't want the other part of the other relationship to come over into that relationship and kind of damage it or cause it to be contaminated or cause all kinds of problems. You don't want that.
Amen. We're talking about
Amen.
The spring. We're talking about the spring of marriage and spring of relationships. And spring can also be associated
yeah.
with what some call the honeymoon phase
nice.
Of marriage. So what would you say, Elder Binion, as well as the Johnsons individually, if the Johnsons, you all can respond first to this and then the Binions, what would you say are some of the pitfalls that you would warn newlyweds to be mindful of during the newness and joy of the spring season? Go ahead, the Johnsons.
Well, now I think we've established that when we think in terms of the spring season, it's more like we're on the honeymoon phase of it, and we have to not take that phase for granted, because
yeah.
there are some ups and downs there, and as a married couple, you have to adjust to those ups and downs and those challenges, and more, it's very important too. To be very attentive to each other during that particular time, because you're going through that new phase of marriage where you've been maybe attached to your spouse to a degree, or my husband and I, for example, we met in high school, so we started dating very young, and all the way throughout, our later early 20s, we were dating, and then later got married. But, when you separate yourself from your friends and your spouse, and you have to determine then, and even your family to a degree, you have to determine who takes priority. I mean, because sometimes, you're in that bubbly stage and you feel like, I still want to have connections with my friends, and I still want to have close connection with my family, and I still want to have my close connection with my spouse. But we have to understand that the spouse comes first.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is so true. The Binions, would you all care to respond to that question?
I think that during the honeymoon phase, that the couple should always remember their vows. Because they're so important, because you've made a vow not between just the two of you, but you've made a vow to God. And so it's
yeah.
so important that you remember that you've made a vow to God to take care of this person, to have this person be your priority in life. And while that that you are a priority of each other, you still have to think, okay, we're none perfect. We're still individuals. We still have to accept each other's differences. In that, we have to also create spaces to be proactive. We don't want to fall into a space where we are becoming passive, you know, where we just kind of, like she said before, take each other for granted. So we don't want to fall in that kind of error in our marriage. We want to create spaces that will be proactive, always there for each other, and remembering to communicate with each other. We don't want to be like ships passing, you know, in the dark. We want to be there where there is light and understanding. We always want to, I heard Elder Augustine say, be truthful. We always want to be upfront and truthful. And if we are always upfront and truthful, and we remember our vows to each other and to God, then everything is going to work out, because we are staying truthful to ourselves, and we are staying truthful to God. And we are accepting the fact that we are human and that we have differences. But in the differences, we make sure that we understand the differences that each of us have. I know that we have to sit down and talk about those differences sometimes. And in talking about the differences, you still may not come to a point where you agree about things to do and differences, but I would say that you always end with a note, an up note, that we might not be able to settle this now. Let's do it another time, and let's pray about it. So you always want to make sure that you are including God, and so that this honeymoon phase will not change over to something that's drastic in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Both great responses.
Yeah.
And actually, the two of you together have talked about what we were going to say as well. So praise the Lord. We're not going to repeat it. We're going to move on to the fall phase. Yes. And let me say this. I see that we have a caller that has unmuted. We're going to save. Caller, go ahead. And if you have a question, go ahead and jot it down, because we're going to save the questions for the end of the forum for our panel, for our couples, and you will get a chance to address your questions. All right, now the fall season. The fall season is designated as a time of somewhat of negligence and uncertainty, feeling a bit unsettled and apprehensive, and I'm sure that we have all had some of this that we've dealt with within our marriage. And so our first question is to provide an example in your marriage of the fall season and provide us with some details. The Johnsons, have you all ever experienced any fall-type symptoms of the fall season within your marriage?
Yes, we have. I wouldn't be truthful if I said no, but the fall season is what it really is. It's where things begin to settle down, and here's where we should start spending more local time together, not allowing boredom to spin. This is a good time to work on the mixed emotions, disagreements, and pitfalls we should take in movies together. And if we got kids, we got to spend some time with the kids as well.
And see, now, what I wanted to add there, too, as the fall season perspective, is when, after we were married, and after we got married, and, of course, and settling into our marriage and then having children, children have a tendency to, you know, they take
up your time.
Take up some of your time, and you're used to, you know, more close to, like, with your husband, but now you have to divide that time. Husband and wives have to divide that time with the children, and you find that you have to set aside time to make sure you're still spending that quality time with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not going to neglect the children, but you still have to be able to spend quality time with your husband as well, and making sure that the needs of the kids are met and that, you know, they are attended to. But in all things, that in everything that you do, you have to always make sure that you put your spouse first.
Correct.
Amen.
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 Amen. Very good. Elders Binion, go ahead and respond to that question. Have you had any fall seasons during your marriage?
That's a tricky question for me to answer, but I'm going to do my best to answer.
All right.
I think the fall season that we had in our marriage came at the very beginning of the marriage. I felt some uncertainty about my marriage in the beginning, and I just had some why questions or some what questions and what if questions. What if the marriage doesn't last, or what if he doesn't love me as much as I love him, or what if he decides that he doesn't want to stay married? What if he doesn't join the church that I would like for us to join? And so those were all the mixed emotions that I was having in the very beginning of the marriage. And I kind of felt intimidated by him because I felt like he was, for some reason, I felt like he was smarter than me. He knew a lot about different types of subjects, and sometimes I couldn't go tit for tat with him because I had no idea what he was talking about. So he seemed to me to be very outgoing and very smart, very well versed. He was funny, outgoing. He knew the Bible well. He could quote scriptures, and I wasn't that well versed. I knew the words, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't quote word for word, and he could do that, and that made me feel like, a little intimidated by him. But what I know is that we do both love the Lord, and we did join the same church, and I know that he loves me, and because of that, that's why we've been married for these 40 years, come July.
Amen.
Amen. God, thank you for hearing that. That's
powerful.
Oh, wow, that is powerful, both responses. Thank
great,
you all for sharing that. Well, we, too, have had some fall seasons in our marriage, and as we were going through the questions, one of the things that kind of jumped out as we talked about was a time of financial instability. And that caused some sense of unsettlement, at least on my part, at the time that my husband was kind of in between jobs, or he was doing a job search. He had temporary employment, but of course that had affected or caused somewhat of a decrease to our overall income. But praise God, the Lord blessed. And thank God that he was able to find something, because he actually transitioned from another state here. This, too, was at the beginning of our marriage. And so while we were still, getting to kind of like get our feet into the settling in of marriage, and then, just wanted to make sure that everything was kind of on solid ground. And so when it took a little time for him to find something that was full time, that financial instability caused a bit of becoming somewhat unsettled. And what was the other thing?
Transportation, our main transportation, our car had caught on fire.
Yes.
So we were out of transportation. That's going to call all kinds of.
No transportation.
That's going to call all kinds of. We have to work some other things. But God, through it all, we stayed together.
We did.
We worked those things out together.
Amen.
And husband and wife worked those things out together.
And that's what we just, out of all of this, we want to share that no matter what the circumstance, no matter the difficulties that you may face, that if you trust in God,
amen,
with God, He will supply your need with God.
Yes,
he will keep you together with God. He will take care of you. Even in that situation where we had no transportation for a period of time, someone provided us with a car. We were actually walking back and forth to church, and someone actually provided us with a vehicle. So, you know, God took care and met that need. And now, you know, praise God, we're in the positions where we help others. And
Amen.
So God is good. God is
Amen.
Good. The next question. I'm sorry.
Could I come in on that?
Yes, sir.
I know I haven't been saying anything, but what you said about the time without a job and all of that, that sparked something in me. Because I remember without a job, without a car, and I remember something that sticks in my mind is that our lights was cut off on the coldest day of the year. And we had no money and nowhere to go. And luckily, a tree had fallen across the street, and my wife asked the man, could he just put the tree in our yard? So I cut the tree up, and we made a fire in the fireplace. For about 4 or 5 days, we were without light, and we cooked food in the fireplace and stuff like that. So those were the times. My children said they thought it was we were just having an adventure, but those were difficult times. And you know, didn't have a car, and then you know. And when you don't have nothing, and a brother from the church bought some hot dogs, which I was grateful for, but those are just little winter seasons.
Yeah.
But there are more. Yeah. There are more. You know, my wife has health issues. I got health issues. You know, a cardiac arrest and short-term memory loss, and not the person I used to be. So. It's like this winter time is kind of like it's been for the last almost 15 years, my winter, because she hurt when she got in a wheelchair. That was the beginning of my winter. And then shortly after that, my heart attack and my loss of memory and so many things. So winter is a long season. Matter of fact, I'm still in it now. Amen.
Amen.
I was getting ready to be funny, but I'm just gonna be who I am.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for.
Praise God.
Thank you so much. Your
testimony. There may be others that are going through some winter seasons. We don't talk about the winter seasons. There may be others that need to know, you know, you're not going through this alone. There are other people in marriage. We go through winter season.
Yes, yes.
We go,
Amen.
We're talking about all right now, but
Amen.
We go through some, I'm telling you, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And that's why it's so essential to be able to have God, at the head and foundations of your marriage.
Thank you for sharing that.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So much for sharing that.
Amen.
Question number two, the nature of the fall season brings with it mixed emotions, such as anxiety and hurt and anger, disappointment and disagreement. How do you as a couple work through these times, and which strategies were a success and which strategies fail when you're dealing with anxiety and hurt and anger and disappointment? Go ahead, the Binions. You all can tackle that one first.
Okay. So I think the best strategy that any married couple could have would be to have a forgiving spirit.
Amen.
All of the mixed emotions and anxiety and disagreements that might be going on in your life. You want to make sure here again that you have discussed what the disappointments are and the disagreements are and why you're angry, or why you have mixed emotions. Because one partner may not understand why this is going on, and so you want to make sure that here again the most important thing that everybody loves to say is communication. You got to communicate with each other. And so if there is a time when you have an unforgiving spirit, then you need to make sure that you let your partner know, I'm sorry, I apologize, please forgive me, so to bring harmony back to your home.
So we want to make sure that I think Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And so because he has forgiven us, then we as people together, couples together, should forgive each other. Amen.
As far as forgiveness, my thing was forgiveness. I've already forgiven. I mean, so I might have to come back and say something like forgive, but she has to know that she's already forgiven. Whatever she does, she's already forgiven.
Yeah.
Everything is forgiven.
Amen.
I prophetically forgive those. I forgive whatever hurt. I prophetically have already forgiven. And so, you know, so I can endure it. I can endure whatever happens because I've already forgiven. And
Amen.
So, yes.
I think I would like to just add to that is, and I know we've talked a lot around this number two, but when we were talking about the forgiveness and, you know, and when you're having hurt and anger, one of the things that we practice, you know, is, to listen to each other and, you know, what the other person is saying, and you might not agree with it all the time, but at least listen to what the person is saying, give them the benefit of the doubt, and allow them to allow the two of you to agree. You know, all the time you're not going to agree on everything, but
that's right.
All that you do, you know, don't let it turn into anger.
That's right.
My husband and I, we talk out everything that we do, especially when we're making major decisions and stuff. And all the time we don't agree, but you know, he shares opinion. But what we do is we come to. As we don't do that all at once, because sometimes things can get a little heated, and it's time for you to kind of walk away and cool until you cool off a little bit. But,
That's right.
When you see it, control can cause a lot of anger. It can cause a lot of anxiety. It can cause some hurt. So it's best to just some time, pray about it, come back together, and then you discuss it, and you'd be amazed at how things will have turned when you have discussed it. You go in, you pray, and talk to God about it, and it's amazing how God would turn that thing around for you.
Amen. Well, we want to chime in on that as well. Thank you both, Johnson and Binion. It's a very powerful point to keep in mind and remember. And so when we're dealing with even anger in the relationship, because sometimes it happens because you do disagree, and sometimes, but even the word tells us that you can be angry and sin not.
So we make
our minds, praise God, to work out our differences, and we have a household rule that we do not go to bed angry. We don't go to bed angry. We have to stay up all night long to get this result. We will not go to bed angry.
We've been close, though.
Yes, we've been close, but we can say we haven't gone to bed angry.
Amen.
You know, and we stay in the same bed together.
Yeah.
Hello, Dad.
Yeah.
No,
that's
I'm
right.
going down
yeah.
the stairs and sleep in the garage or, you know, on the sofa or whatever the case may be. No, absolutely not.
Praise
no, we don't. And so we don't allow these negative emotions to linger and take root.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's a strategy of the enemy.
Unless you're out
to go. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's got to go.
And we apply the word of God during these difficult times, because we recognize that God is bigger than any of our circumstances.
And we allow love to be the foundation of our interaction. True love be the foundation of interaction. We have that love, because that love is going to last So love, vacation, love, and patience. The love is so good. I love to keep you strong and make you stronger.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, it will. Amen.
Towards each other. It makes you stronger. It made my love for her and my love for me. It was stronger together. We draw closer to each other.
Amen.
At all times.
Amen. My mother.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to say that I guess we've been saying that all along is the fact that we have to have some conflict resolutions. And
right.
Yes, we don't want to let the sun go down on our wrath. We don't want to be angry when we, you know, preparing for bed. If we have a disagreement or argument, then we've got to do it the right way. Isaiah 1:18 says that we should come together. Come, let us reason together. And so we got to sit down and reason together. And as you said, this requires listening to each other. If you're not waiting for the person to stop talking, your partner to stop talking, and you're not listening, you're just ready to give what you want to say. No, that's not communication. You have to be hearing. You have to be listening to what the other person is saying. And the other thing is that you need to make sure is that you keep down the volume of your voice, because getting loud and screaming turns into a screaming match, and it settles nothing, and nobody understands what either is saying. So you got to make sure that you're holding tight to your anger and asking the Lord to be there for you, so that you won't say the wrong thing at the time that you're having your discussion. You have to get to a quick resolution to solve this, and you have to consider the needs of each other. And so I like the fact that you said that don't go to bed angry, because you want to make sure that you don't wait till the late afternoon to start talking about a serious topic, and what happens is it just draws on and on and on, and it shouldn't. You should have a time limit. Okay, we're going to discuss this with such and such. If we don't get where we need to be, then we're just going to table this until we can get to where we need to be, and pray about it, and go to bed and rest. Amen.
One of the other things that's very true, Elder Binion. Thank you so much for sharing that. One of the other things that just came to my spirit to share is that don't argue in front of your children.
Yes.
Hello. Don't bring out your disagreement in the presence of your children. Yeah. They should always be able to see with their parents a united front, a unity that's there. If you have disagreement, you go off between the two of you and be able to talk those things out and settle. When you said don't raise your voice and be screaming and yelling, kids, they're in the house, of course, if you do that, they're going to be able to hear what's going on. That is something that should never happen. You should be able to go, the two of you, and be able to settle your differences amongst the two of you outside of the realm and the knowledge of your children.
And never demean or degrade one
another. Absolutely.
Don't demean or degrade one another. Each other toward your children. Don't do that in front of them. But learn to choose your words carefully, choose your words wisely, and learn to speak truth and love.
Amen.
You all can go back to that part of all we have. Learn to speak truth and love.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I have a quick question for my couples, and also to a statement for our audience. Normally we end at 60 minutes. For the sake of the wanting to make sure to get the information in, Elders Binions and the Johnson, can you all stay for at least about another 15, 20 minutes or so?
Sure.
Okay. All right, great. And listening audience, if you have to drop at 60 minutes, we do understand, but we're going to go ahead with this program because we feel that this information is vital and very important. We're going to talk next about the winters We talked somewhat earlier about the winters of marriage. The winters are going to occur. We just shared that. No matter how close that you are, no matter, winters will occur. The winters of marriage is never the winter of marriage is never a welcome season. Yet, as with any seasonal change, the success of one season often depends on the successful management and transition from one season to the next. So, go ahead, babe.
Okay. Binion, can you share an example of a mentor in your life, in your marriage?
Yeah, Elder Binion had shared some of that, but this we're going to talk a little bit more about the winters of your marriage. So, the Binions, if you all will go ahead and talk about that.
Please.
Like you said, that the winter is a time of distance and discouragement and dissatisfaction. This might seem a little strange to some people, but even though we've had sometimes a disagreement, we've never really had any, drawn-out arguments and fights and
yes.
screaming. That never happened, with the exception of the very first season when we first got married, when we were learning each other. But now in our winter season, we've become a little bit more seasoned, and so we never considered divorce, and we just feel like our fall and our winter seasons are kind of like they're blended together, and because my husband, like I said before, my husband was a good person and he was there to provide for us and he loved us and. And so everything went well. So we never really got into a season where we were really distant from each other or dissatisfied with each other. But yet we do know that this happens to couples. And if it happens, then it's up to the couples to realize that this is happening and that they should address this. They should have effective communication. They should remember that verbal communication is important, but also, you know, that your gestures and your body language and all of that plays into that. And so when your body language says something different than what your mouth is saying, that your spouse picks up on that, and that can cause some anger or distance or discouragement or dissatisfaction in your marriage. So you have to make sure that what you are presenting is real, because if it's not real, then the other person is going to know. And so that's where you have to make sure that, you know, God is helping you with your disposition and to you realize that I love this person and I don't want this person to see this side of me, and pray yourself, but also ask your partner to pray with you, because you're in a place where you don't want to be. And so you don't want to leave the other person out.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 Great. Amen. Johnsons, would you all care to elaborate? Have you had any winters in your marriage?
Well, as Elder Binion was talking, I was kind of, you know, reflecting back on the time. And it kind of brought to mind kind of in our midways of these 50 years that we've been married, a time that, you know, when my husband was traveling a lot with his job. And of course, mm-hmm. I knew that was a part of the responsibility of his job, that it includes the travel. However, it didn't set right with me all the time because of the fact that, you know, with him leaving out on a Sunday sometime and not coming back to a Friday, and when he was here in town, then it was a honey-do list to complete when he got here, and then we spend a little time together, we go to church, and then we're back, you know, back to that same, you know, schedule again. And it gets you to the point where, is this what marriage is all about? And so I had to repent, because I knew that this is the life that God has chosen for our well-being. So, you know, in terms of that, you know, I had to accept the fact that this season, just like you were going through the
spring and the fall and the winter, this was just a season that we were going through that we had to get through. And
amen.
God on our side, and being the type of person that, you know, that I am, where I am basically open to discussions with and sharing with a few people that I trust that encouraged me along during those particular times, that I felt that, you know, had I not had that encouragement, you know, you do have sometimes, you do have some, sometimes you do need someone that you can talk to, somebody that you don't feel that's just going to give you, you know, ill advice, because, you know, right. And you have to be who you talk to, because of the fact that sometimes people will say, oh, honey, I wouldn't do that, or, you know, if that was my man, he'd have to be here with me, and blah, blah, blah. But and the overall extent of doing that particular time, you know, I got to accept the fact that, and more or less get involved with things to keep myself busy so that my mind didn't drift and I got distracted, and just enjoyed the moments, you know, when it was time for Billy to return from out of town. And, you know, and then we went through that season, and then we were together more often. But it did leave, it was a time that it left some doubt. And we went through those doubtful times, those discouragement times. But I tell you, I just trust God in everything that I do. And you know, and when you fall, he will pick you up. And so, and as the scriptures say, we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And those things that God has prepared for you, he has them stored for you, and it goes through stages. And I felt that was one of the stages that he took us through.
Well, amen.
Like I had two old gentlemen that really cared a lot for me, and they wanted the marriage to be successful. That's what they believed in. Both of them was totally invested in God and God's word. And so you had to do what you promised them, both of those guys, that you were going to do. And trust me, separation and divorce was nowhere in the message. You know, you went along
Amen.
With vows that you took, and that was it. A lot of times, you know, they get hard-headed on you, but you talk it over and everything is.
We thank God for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we too have had some winters in our marriage. And
yes.
as Elder Albert was talking about earlier, we've had some health and still dealing with some health related issues. And I guess one of the most difficult times during our marriage was when we were trying to get pregnant and have a child.
Yeah.
And I found myself, and we found ourselves in our 40s before we got pregnant. And so, you know, during that time, and I was 40 years old. It's interesting that 40 God's number of transition, and I became pregnant twice in 1 year and ended up having two miscarriages from those pregnancies within the same year. And that was just devastating to me because I so had a desire to have a child. And so those times were very difficult times. For me and for us, I thank God though that I can say that my husband during that time was very supportive and encouraging and patient and understanding. And because it's important that when you're going through your winter season, even as a couple, you've got to reflect back on your commitment to one another, and you've got to know that, yes, that person is the person that's going to be there with you and for you when the rubber meets the road. And that's on both sides. And so, you know, we shared that to our listening audience that, you know, everybody goes through winter season. And praise God. The word of God tells us that, you know, he works all things together for the good. Even those things that are difficult things in our lives, somehow he's working it together for the good. And praise God, even where the miscarriages were concerned, we now have we're the proud parents of a 17-year-old teenager. So God,
Amen.
He is ever faithful also to his
Amen.
Word. And if you're going through your winters, just know that this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try to make decisions on temporary circumstances. You know, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. We just have to trust God through it.
Amen.
Our next question. Yeah, baby.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. The winter season is a season for couples to most likely consider divorce. Have you ever considered divorce? Why or why not?
Well, both of our couples have kind of answered that question initially.
Man.
We've heard no, and we will be the third no. divorce was not an option. It was not an option. Johnsons and Binions, you all can go ahead and chime in on that.
Like I said before, and you said it was never an option. It never entered my mind about being divorced after the first year when you were trying to formulate things together. But after that, it never entered my mind about divorcing him because I knew that God had placed us together. He had put us together. And what God puts together, let no man put asunder. So we knew that God had joined us together.
Amen.
As far as divorce,
Amen.
As far as divorce, no. And even I just want to talk a little about the wilderness. Just one point. Even when you're in a winter season, like in a real winter season, you don't stay there. You don't freeze to death. You put on a coat and you turn up the heat. So even in the winter season, you got to play some Marvin Gaye. You got to dance. You got to do the things. You got to do the things to make the winter not as miserable. Amen.
Amen.
Keep the romance
in the marriage.
I think both sides of the family was a perfect example for me. I don't think some of the questions that my father-in-law and my father used to lay on me, I don't think my wife really got that. But they honestly believe, both of them really loved her, and they honestly believe that holy matrimony was 100% thing. You just don't get into that and think you're going to bail out of it. And the responsibility that I heard from these two guys, that it was the man's responsibility. If it ain't right, it's your job to make it right. And you can make it right without any violence involved in it at all. What you got to do is you got to open that big old thick book and look for subscription there. God's got it in there, and he'll tell you what to do with it.
Amen.
He'll lay it in there for you to say, I do today, and then tomorrow say, I won't. I won't just have a little.
That's good. That's good.
That's right. That's right.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen. That's some good. That's some good.
Power
good
word.
Food there.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. What would you say, couples, was the bond that held you together during your winter season? The Johnsons?
Well, as we've expounded on it, I think basically it's just putting our trust in God and, you know, and he's the one that sustained us through it. And that, there's
Amen.
No doubt about it. There are things that we could definitely not have done on our own, you know, so but we trust God and God sustained us and led us through the winter season.
Amen.
Binions?
Well, there's nothing too much to add to that, but excuse me. As she said, we just kept the Lord before us. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, there's joy. And if you're in the presence of the Lord and there's joy, then comes strength. And so you've got something to rely on. You've got the word to rely on. And even though in the winter season, one or the other, this might happen. It has not happened to us, but it could occur that I've known people to say that they decided that they weren't going to talk at all. They just mm-hmm. were just not going to communicate because they were in a winter season. And so this is, again, a pitfall. You're not mm-hmm. recognizing that talking is what's going to make it better. And so you want to make sure that that your winter, as my husband said, that you don't freeze to death. You want to make sure that the love is still there, the kindness is still there, the giving is still there. You know, you just want to make sure that you go the extra mile. Sometimes you just have to go the extra mile. You have to go the extra mile.
Amen. Praise God. It's so powerful, so good. Amen. We learned that, and I was making sure individually, as a couple, they say, you all mentioned learning to trust God Almighty, and our love for one another, you grow stronger in that. Mm-hmm. And you learn to walk in faith with God day by day. We learn how to walk by faith, learn to trust in God's word, learn to obey his word. And we learn to pray together. Mm-hmm. Not apart, we learn to pray together. No matter what circumstance happens to come about, we learn to pray together.
Amen.
You know, amen. Amen. And hope for greater things and better things ahead, because God said so, and we believe it without a doubt that his word is true. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, praise God. We have one more season left, you all. Let's talk about summer. Ah, summer. That summer is a time of satisfaction and comfortability.
Yes.
Enjoying one another and enjoying life together.
Amen.
So share an example of the summer season of your marriage and what are some of the strategies to get to the summers of marriage and ensure that this season lasts as long as possible.
Amen.
Go right ahead, Binion.
Okay. First of all, I think we learned that we have a purpose. We should have a purpose for our marriage. And I don't think we've talked about this. We need to set goals. You have to have a lifetime of goals, things that you want to achieve in your marriage. And if you've got goals that you're going to achieve as a couple, then things will begin to, you know, stay on track. So that's called nurturing the marriage. So you've got to nurture the marriage. You want it to last. You've got to nurture it. You've got to be serious about it. And the two of you have to want to work on it together. And so you create goals that you can achieve and that you can work through for any season in your marriage, and it will help you to stay connected. And so you work together doing those, and so it's your mission as a couple to stay married. And so in setting those Amen. Goals, you can achieve them, but you achieve them because of God's grace on your life. And so you have to have what I like to say is a consecrated group of conversations along the way, so that your marriage will stay healthy and that it'll stay holy, and that you will continue to have mm-hmm. communication, you know, in your marriage. So you have to rely on God, rely on Jesus. When there are difficulties in your life, you rely on him and think about, okay, what would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus say? What is it that he wants me to do? And so when we rely on him, the grace of God will take us through whatever we're going through, whatever winter season we're going through, he's going to help us out. Amen?
Summer.
Oh, we're in summer. I'm sorry. Let me go back to summer then. We're in summer. So let me tell you something about our summer. Okay. In our summer, I think we have been in our summer for some time because we enjoy being with one another. We do things spontaneously. Everything doesn't have to be planned, though there are times when you do want to plan things, but spontaneous is good. And you make sure that you do things that are special for each other, birthdays and Valentine's and all of those things. But even on, you make your own special occasions. Every day can be special. And so you make sure that you're realizing that this person that you're with is special. And so you want to make sure that the romance stays in your life. And do things that's fun together. Go shopping, a window shopping, a... he said singing and dancing. You know, do something that's going to, you know, be fun for the two of you. And it doesn't have to be anything expensive. Watch TV.
Amen.
Get a couple coffee together. Just something that you can spend time together that will enhance your communication and your love and romance for each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. So true. Yes, ma'am. Johnson?
Well, now, I think in terms of summer, I'm a summer person. I like spring, too, but to be honest with you, spring is my favorite, though. But summer. Summer is a time of laughter, joy, and excitement.
Barbecues.
And barbecues, you think in terms like that. So, of course, and I'm going to have the barbecue part with you like the barbecue. But it's a time that, just like in your marriage, where you kind of renew some things, you know, and bring some excitement there into the marriage. You know, one of the things that we enjoy doing, simple as just watching movies together, or, you know, we share, we do our daily devotions, and we sit down and share an open conversation of discussion of what we, you know, what we read about, and share our views on that or whatever, and turn into a conversation. But it's a time to enlighten or to bring in excitement into the marriage.
Amen.
Amen.
And laugh a little bit.
That's right.
Yes. 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 Well, we want you all to know that, again, you both have stole our thunder. Praise God. Yes, you covered those. And, you know, the special days,
yes.
I can say, we set aside what we create our own special
mm-hmm.
days. My husband started Happy Wife's Day.
Yes.
And then I followed up Happy Husband's Day.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, just different things and the laughter together.
Yes.
And, you know, all of that is so, so very important, you know. And as Elder Binion said, it doesn't have to be something that costs anything. It doesn't have to cost a lot. And some costs, again, doesn't have to cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just spending time together.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. So good to have a merry heart.
Amen.
To have a joyful home. It's good to be
mm-hmm.
happy and have fun. I mean, you know, fun couple. Amen. It's good to have fun. You're married toward each other and love one another. That's fun. Man,
that's
good. Have a good spirit about each other, amen. Vacation together, spend some time to each other, and doing things that you enjoy doing, watching movies, other things, go to Brewster's, or other things you want to go and do, shopping, not shopping, different things you can do.
Amen. And there's one
mm-hmm.
subject we hadn't talked about yet, but we're going to touch upon that too. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, you can have a good healthy marriage, and sex life is important as well. But even more important is intimacy.
That's right.
Intimacy began
Amen.
Long before you get to the bedroom. Intimacy might be a hug, might be a kiss, might be a caress, a touch. We try to touch your wife. We try to touch your husband. We try
yes.
to touch one another. Amen.
Amen.
So it began with that. It don't just begin with the commercial. Became with a kiss. Yeah, it began with a kiss. It became with a touch as well. Amen.
Amen.
Each and every day. Like give him a hug, you know, embrace him, let him know you love and care, show and share your feeling and share your emotion toward each other so they can know without a doubt that you love and you care about them. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. I agree that and we share that, especially with the younger couples, to know that, you know, intimacy, a healthy sex life, it doesn't begin in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It begins
Amen.
Long before you get there.
The
okay, you
Amen.
Have
That's
to be right. able to like one another, not only love one another, you have
yes.
to be able to like one another. And the intimacy that my husband just shared is so important. You know, that hug, that touch, that loving touch. As Elder Augustine shared, just sitting down, watching a movie
yes,
together,
enjoy.
Caressing
yes.
one another, snuggling up close, all of those things,
Amen.
You know, that
Amen.
Makes such a vast difference, and it helps your marriage to last. Well, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We're going to go and in closing, we've touched upon this throughout the course of the conversation, and the question is, has the presence of Jesus Christ made a difference in your marriage? And if so, how important is his presence in every season of marriage? And provide an example. Briefly, Father John, would you all touch upon that?
Yes, Jesus, the Christ, has been very, very, very important in our marriage. When we got married, we got married, and after the honeymoon, we went on a 3-day fast so that God would bless our marriage. And 40 years later,
Amen.
He has done it. So it's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
So powerful, so good. Amen.
Johnson, thank you, Elder Binion. How has the presence of Christ made a difference in your marriage, Elder Deacon Billy and Elder Augustine?
And we will start from the top. I think when you took those vows, those were very important. And those vows was administered to the point where, as God has already, you know, he already blessed you, whether you know it or not. A lot of us don't even ask for a wife, but he put that wife in place and that husband in place because that's the way it's supposed to be. And so there's a blessing right to start with. And all you have to do, listen to what God's trying to tell you. He's the leader in all of this. You might want to do something that's crazy, and if you got him involved heavily in your life, you're going to straighten right up and go the way he wanted you to go. That's why the 50 years, and you got to remember stuff, until death do us part.
Yes, those are important. Sometimes people just take those words for granted, but they are very, very important, and they're part of the vows for a significant reason.
Right.
It's not just words.
Right.
It's there for a significant reason. And if you follow those vows, and depart them in your heart, then you will be able to sustain and last as long as we have for 50 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, that's a great note to end on right there. Thank you both. We're going to go ahead and open up our line. Callers, if you have a question for either of the couples, or you just have a general question regarding marriage, we have our couples here. Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad now, and we will dispatch you into the studio. I will go ahead and read the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and you will know that you are live. We have one person. Your last 4 digits are 4829. 4829. We're going to go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You have a question for us?
I believe that's my number. Hello, everybody. This is
Hello.
On Kim. Hey.
Did you have a question?
Well, okay, I guess I'll have a question now. What I want to know is, can you stay in the summer the whole time in your marriage?
No.
Because I'm really so in love with my husband, and I just want to stay right there. Is that's not going to happen? Do I have to go through winter?
All right. Let one of the couples respond to that. Go ahead. Who wants to respond to that? Our caller wants to know, can she and her husband stay in the summer of marriage throughout their marriage? Go right ahead.
How long have you been married?
Okay, hold on.
How long
have
you been married? We've been married for 3 years.
How long?
3 years.
3 years. Okay, well, you're probably still in that honeymoon phase, admiring and loving each other. And I say yes. The summer can last always. There might be some hurdles that you might have to go over, but because you respect each other, you love each other so much, and you're always there for each other and keeping God first in the marriage, and you're satisfied and you're committed, I think so, because I feel like my husband and I feel like we've been in a summer season for a long time, and I believe we're going to stay there. So I would say yes. In my opinion, I would say yes.
Well, right. That is so right. Encouraging. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Johnson, you all have a comment?
Well, I have to agree. I think it depends on the circumstances and the individual. So if
Amen.
Like you're there and you're maintaining, then, yes, stay there.
Amen.
Thank
you. It's like repairing a car. You know, you have maintenance that you have to do to a car to keep it up. There are times that you have to do maintenance. You might have to have a getaway, or you might go to a marriage conference or something like that. So you do maintenance to keep it exciting.
Yeah. Right.
Don't freeze it
well,
in winter.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay.
I wanted to elaborate on that as well and chime in and say, you know, we have our summer for quite some time. And just be aware that even in the midst of the summer,
yeah.
Sometimes you have elements. You live in Atlanta, you might have during your summer months, you might have elements of other seasons. So I will share that sometimes during, yes, you can stay in your summer because we've been in ours and we love it, praise God. And
what
there may come, elements, just little elements of other seasons during your summer.
Is that be the case? Make some preparation for the other season.
Yes. If you know you got a little, if you see a little out there, pull out the umbrella. Hello?
That's
right.
Red.
Yes. Prepared.
Yeah, you chew your boots when you need to.
Yes, but you still walking through that summer.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
What an excellent question. Praise God. Is there anyone else that would like to chime in tonight? Do you have a marriage question? Or even if you want to share a comment? And while we are considering that, I want to go ahead and praise God. Thank you. We want to
thank
God
so
for our listening audience. We want to thank God for our panelists. We give you all a hand. Elder Binion, Elder Johnson, Deacon Billy Johnson, Elder Albert Binion, Elder Veronica Binion, Elder Augustine, God bless you all.
Thank you so
and
much.
Thank you all so much for your time this evening. We have about 2 minutes left in the broadcast, and we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. We thank you, our listening audience, for bearing with
thank
us
so
and
much.
Staying with us, and we
Amen.
Pray that this information has been a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We thank God for the opportunity, Lord, to once again share in the study of your word as it pertains to marriage, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you go forth and bless each of these couples as we, Lord God, strive to live a life and have marriages that honor you. We give you praise, Lord, and we thank you for these seasons of marriage, each and every one, because with your presence, Lord, we know that all things are possible.
Amen.
We give you praise, honor, and glory, and we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Go forth, audience, have an excellent week, and to God be all the glory. Have a wonderful night, everyone. God bless.
Hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
praise.